We're examining the idea of connectedness on today's program, taking our cue from the coordinated programming scheduled as part of IU's Themester 2013. On campus, connections are increasingly happening among the disciplines. For the current show at the Grunewald Gallery of Art, Imagining Science, artists and scientists teamed up to create collaborative projects that have their origins in scientific images, recordings, or imaging techniques. Imagining Science features an interactive display that emerged from a collaboration between Jeffrey Wolin, the Ruth N. Halls Professor of Photography, and Andrew Lumsdaine, Professor of Computer Science. WFIU's J.D. Gray reports.
Jeffrey Wolin is the director of the Center of Integrative Photographic Studies. The center is a place for scholars, artists, and scientists.
Anyone on campus who makes, curates, studies photographic images for whatever reason, not just for art, but for whatever reason, get together and discuss the issues that we have in common.
Wolin calls the Imagining Science exhibit a testimonial to this type of collaboration. About 3 years ago, Wolin had just announced the center publicly, and he receives an introductory email from Andrew Lumsdaine.
I didn't know him before, from computer science, and he said, I'm working on this technology, Planoptics, and maybe we could do something together. Well, as a matter of fact, there had just been an article in the New York Times like the day before that we were discussing in our graduate seminar about how this was going to change photography, you know, this ability to change focus after a picture is taken was absolutely revolutionary. And the next day I get an email from the guy who invents this technology saying, let's do something together. There was no question that this was something we wanted to pursue.
Wolin emphasizes the importance of this technology a few times. He even compared it to the work of Edward Muybridge, famous for his sequential photos of a galloping horse. These photos were the precursor to movies. They're important because they allow a viewer to move forward and backwards through time. Planoptics parallel this. Planoptic cameras allow a viewer to move forward and backward through space.
It's really about focus. So it's not blur, it's about focus. You know, what is in and out of focus? Why is this important technology? Why is this going to change photography? Well, the easiest example is a lot of times you take a photograph and the thing you really want in focus is out of focus. Mm-hmm. You can't fix that. You know, sharpening tools in Photoshop don't fix something that's out of focus. So with Planoptics, you can go back. You have all of that. All those light rays are there. You go back and say, I want the couple that's standing in front of the mountain to be in focus. I don't want the mountain in focus. I want the couple in focus.
If you're wondering, why not just take another photo? Focus on the couple the second time. Here's another example. Imagine a hawk swoops down in between the couple and the mountain. But this time, the couple is in focus, and the hawk is blurry. If you want the hawk to be in focus, you'd have to lure the bird back down to take another photo. But Planoptics allow you to exchange the clarity of the couple for the clarity of the bird. The value in Planoptics is not just that you can have a properly focused image, but it is that you can have a properly focused image of something that happens just once. Maybe you've seen something like this in a movie. Lumsdaine says that he has.
Well, one of the classic movies like that, I think, and even where maybe the enhanced terminology comes from, I think, is from Blade Runner, right, where he's inspecting some photograph, I think of crime scene or something. It has a couple of things that drive me nuts because he's also talking to his computer.
Enhanced 224 to 176.
Computer's responding in the right way. But enhance, and the computer does it. Science advances sometimes to catch up to, you know, what had been alluded to. I don't want to say necessarily predicted, but, you know, to things that have been presented.
5,400 microlenses are arranged in front of a sensor inside of a Planoptic camera. Lumsdaine describes the lens's appearance as a tiny screen door. Whenever you snap a photo,
those microlenses basically create an array of small images, which you can see here, an array of 5,400 micro images of the scene instead of one big picture of the scene.
Lumsdaine was showing me a high-quality archival print, and it was filled with small images. Some were in focus, some were out of focus, and each image was about the size of half a fingernail. From a distance, the colors arranged on the sheet as the whole picture might look, but in colorful splotches.
And I've heard it's not precisely technically correct, but it might be a useful analogy still for listeners, is that it's in some sense like a fly's eye view of the world.
But when the small individual images are arranged and layered correctly in a computer, they can produce an image in which the viewer can select what is in focus.
As these things go in and out, it's similar to the way we see, you know, and I think you start to think about that. How do we see? How does the brain work? Why do we have these two little lenses, and you know, how do they make this motion picture in the back of our brain, or however, you know, sight, you know, works? It's really sort of a fascinating thing in and of itself. Light, the way the human optical system works. So I think part of it, you know, reflects that.
In their exhibit at the Grunwald Gallery as a part of Imagining Science, Lumsdaine and Wolin have provided the opportunity for visitors to interact with three planoptic images. Dials are on tables in front of monitors, and each monitor is a picture. Turn the dial, you can watch the focus change from one object in the picture to another. One image, titled Apples, Orange, and Pear, is in 3D. The slight variations in angles inside the planoptic camera create stereoscopic images, images that, when viewed in pairs, increase the sense of depth and create the illusion of three dimensions.
From the beginnings of photography, people wanted three-dimensional images. And so probably most photographs in the 19th century were viewed stereoscopically, you know,
most
as pairs.
Of them.
Very common. 1860s through into the 20th century, stereo photographs were basically a television of that time period.
Other forms of entertainment became more popular. But now it's possible that planoptics can bring stereoscopic images back into popularity.
Yeah, that is the goal. I mean, to really kind of complete the full circle on planoptic capture would be to do planoptic display where, you know, the light rays that were captured are kind of broadcast back out, and you would then get through 3D without glasses, that would work for everybody, you know, more than a single viewer.
Wolin and Lumsdaine say they expect to see planoptics in cell phones as early as 2 or 3 years from now. But you can experience a planoptic interaction right now at Imagining Science. Whether you want to see the future of photography or the past, both are on display. For WFIU Arts, I'm J.D. Gray.
The planoptic images created by Jeffrey Wolin and Andrew Lumsdaine are on view in the Grunwald Gallery through October 11th as part of Imagining Science.